If you are serious about building your short-term rental business to $10,000, $20,000, maybe even $30,000 a month or more, you have come to the right place. My name is Kyle Stanley, and this is the Fearless Investor Podcast, where we teach you all things short-term rentals. The best guests, the best tools, the best strategies. There are so many investing paths out there. It can be seriously overwhelming to start out as a new investor, but take it from me, short-term rentals is the best and the quickest way to build your cash flow. So buckle up, listen in, and get ready to conquer the world of short-term rentals. Here we go.
Team Fearless, if you didn't already know, I closed on close to 100 doors in just under 2 years, and I did it without using any of my own money and without leaving the comfort of my office chair. Now, I did this with something I like to call the Castor Method. And maybe you've heard me talk about it, but now is your chance to actually learn this exact method from me. In my 5-day Castor Challenge, I'm going to help you find hot deals. You're going to hear real conversations that I have with sellers that are live. And by day 5, you will have everything you need to get on the phone with a motivated seller in your market. Jump on this 5-day Castor Challenge today. Go to thefearlessinvestors.co/5-day. That's thefearlessinvestors.co/5-day. Let me show you exactly how good deals are created, not just found. See you there.
Team Fearless. We are
back. Yo.
Lame and Kyle. Been a minute since it's been both of us, and I'm excited to have both of us, not only for this introduction here, but also for the interview that we just did with Mr. Arthur Kolker, the head of StayFi. And just really quickly, like Lame, before we kind of chat and catch up on life and business and stuff, I think it's important for people to understand what this is, because we, in the interview, we just kind of jumped into it, right? We were just like, all right, like you can collect emails. But I think the important thing for people to understand is like why it's so important to collect emails, why they need to have some sort of lead gathering, contact gathering resource and not just be relying on Airbnb. So instead of me talking about that, why don't you answer that question? Why should someone have something like that in their processes?
Yeah, one of the things that we don't think about, because it's kind of just a cost of doing business that we check off in our heads, is that the average OTA cost, like the fees just to list, is about 15%. Whether that's split up between you and the guest, you taking it, the guest taking it, there's fees in there that at 15%, I could book direct with somebody and lower it 5% and make another 10%, right? Yeah. There's a perfect middle ground of margin that can be created when you direct book in. So first and foremost, that's the answer number one, I think, is that there's just more money on the table to be had, right? The second is just the control that you have around it, right? Direct booking, Mark Simpson, Arthur Kolker, like these companies, StayFi, Boostly, they are continually focusing on a market share within the short-term rental space of Airbnb, VRBO, that's getting bigger and bigger. And the guys that are managing it professionally, like we understand that. And so we're taking steps towards creating our own websites to be able to capture that demand that's there, because people want to save money. People want to save money. By now, a lot of times people have found us just by Googling our name, because they see that, hey, it's Elkridge Management. They'll Google and then they'll send us a direct message, because they know that those savings exist, right? And so, it's interesting. I just got invited to speak on a panel in New Orleans for the Verma event. And the topic they asked me to speak on was fighting the battle of junk fees. And the premise of it is how, like, there's this huge, really controversial subject of now when you go on Airbnb, you have cleaning fee, you have management fee, you have this. There's just this whole line item list, right? And I think what that speaks to is the avatar is changing and developing. People are wanting to save money. They want more simplicity, and they don't want to see all these fees that are inevitable when you're on the OTAs, right? And so this is kind of just speaking in a nutshell of like all of the benefits that I think this is something important to have in your arsenal, right?
When I think about your business too, and how you added Turo to your business within the last, year?
Year and a half.
How about, the fact that you had probably already hosted over 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people at that point to be able to say, hey, next time you come back to Salt Lake City, you're going to be able to rent a car from me. You don't have to worry about sitting in lines over at the airport and getting shuttles. You can just come straight to the house and the car will be waiting for you.
100%.
That kind of stuff to me, or, hey, we just added this giant, beautiful mansion, or, hey, we just added a place with, you know, 5 hot tubs, right? Like all that stuff, right? That you can say, hey, here's what's new about our business, and staying top of mind and the excitement that's going on within your business. I think that's the importance that we're talking about here. So speaking of excitement, you know, I'm actually pretty excited, Lame, because I've been traveling a bunch. I've got every excuse in the book of why I haven't been making my caster calls, but I finally started making my caster calls in the last year. And man, and just, you know, backing up for everyone, I own a few creative financing deals, but I will say a lot of that was done by my business partner, and he'd made the calls. He had the cold callers doing it. This is really the first time I've actually been making the calls myself. And honestly, dude, like I have learned a couple things. So I've made calls in 2 different markets. And one is here in my backyard of Fresno. Fresno, like there still isn't quite that pain of like, hey, every listing is sitting for 60 days or more. It's maybe 5%, maybe 10% of those listings are sitting for 30 days. Maybe even just like half of those that are lasting past 30 days last past 60 days. If you wait long enough, you're probably going to get the offer unless you're just really overpriced or unless you need a lot of work on the house. So I made about 10 calls and I've got one that actually has gotten into the stages of like, hey, they got the offers and they're reviewing it with the owner, which is extremely exciting because it's not only a great Airbnb, but it's got a number of different exit strategies, including my wife and I would probably even move in and live there. So we'll see where that one goes. I'll let you guys know if that one ends up going under contract. But what I love about that, Lame, is that these calls that were made in the Fresno area were all to properties that had been listed for 60 days or longer. So when I talk to these realtors, I mean, they want to make something work. Like they want to make something happen. So that was the fun thing for me, was like, I didn't have to feel like I was going to get, you know, berated over the phone of like, no, that's stupid. Why would we do that? It was like, okay. I mean, like at this point, we'll look at anything, right?
Yeah.
So that was exciting. But then the other market that I looked at was a rural area, and it's on the East Coast. I'm not going to let you know where it is because I snatched up all the property. But man, I made 3 calls to realtors and all 3 of them were like, yeah, we're open to it. And I don't know. I mean, there's not many listings in these areas. There might've been 10 total listings and only 3 of them had been listed for over 60 days. And I was kind of blown away because for me, I was like, oh, there's not many listings. I bet you they're not going to be open to it. It was the exact opposite. It was, yeah, I mean, we've been listed for a long time and I think this person's ready to take just about any offer they can get. What do you think about that? Is that kind of interesting to you?
I love that. And again, and I've said this from the beginning, right? Because we obviously have systems and processes in place to help identify and narrow down your funnel of like where to find motivation, who to talk to. But at the end of the day, like all we're really doing is just solving problems for the right person and the right people. And that just takes effort and trial, tribulation, time to be able to just make the calls and find them. What this speaks to is the market. These deals are out there. Everybody, like there is a need, drastic need for people to move real estate. And we just got to pick up the phone and make the call. With that being said, kind of diving into what I would, you know, kind of what I would guess as well, based on that market, is typically when you're in these smaller areas, you're dealing with like kind of blue collar ag farmers. Like these are people that, you know, they work hard and long and have careers where they've earned their money, right? Mm-hmm. With labor. And those are people that are typically very risk averse. Mm. And so those are people that, like, we've talked about how, you know, the easy low-hanging fruit are the people that have a ton of motivation because they can't afford the house or they're in a bad spot financially, right?
Yeah.
On the other side of the spectrum is people that just want to put their money in safe assets and in safe things. And what safer asset to put your money into than a note that is backed by real estate, right? And so I think that speaks to also that avatar of like, hey, a lot of these people probably just, they're not wanting to get undercut because they've worked hard for their money. That's why it's sitting so long. but they're willing to put their money to work in the form of a note, which is an opportunity for you, right? Be able to come up with a creative deal. And that's what I think it speaks to. So I love hearing stories like that. Cause again, the field is white, ready to harvest. People just got to go in there and put in the work. So,
yeah. And all of it's been from what I've learned in the community, what I've learned from you. And so like, guys, if you're, this is to me, like, we're going to keep on talking about, but it is the only way to be buying properties. Like I straight up been telling these realtors, like, I'm not buying properties unless it's on terms. I'm not, my pride and ego is not going to allow me to get an 8% rate. I'm just not going to do it. So I just encourage everyone who's listening right now to just be in the same mindset of just don't settle for what everyone else is trying to get. Do what the few are doing. Follow the Caster method. You can do that one of two ways. You can just go to thefearlessinvestors.co, take the 5-day challenge that we've got there right on the homepage. It's free. Or if you're ready to get in the same room as Lame and I and some serious creative acquisitions into short-term rental operators that are going to help you get to where you want to go. The results, the wins have been awesome to see in this group. Make sure you book a call with Lame and our team. It's in the link down below in both the podcast and the YouTube description. But we've talked long enough. I think we ought to go ahead and just throw it over to the Arthur Kolker interview that we had about StayFi. What do you think, Lame?
Yep, let's dive in, baby.
Okay. Hey, guys, welcome into the Fearless Investors podcast. You got me, Kyle Stanley, and Lame Kinney-Kinney, and we're bringing you today Arthur Kolker, the founder and CEO of StayFi. Go ahead and just give us a quick little overview, Arthur. What is StayFi? We'd love for everyone to hear that.
Yeah, so StayFi is the best way to help you capture guest data and over time become less dependent on third-party channels like Airbnb and Vrbo by building up your own brand and repeat bookings. And the way we do that is we use a technology we've all encountered before at like a Starbucks, a hotel, an airport, where when a guest joins the Wi-Fi in your short-term rental, they have to provide information like email, name, phone number on this thing called a captive portal in order to get access to the internet. And that way we collect data, not just from the booker, but everybody staying in a vacation rental. So that could be 8, 9, 10, 20 people per stay. And then within StayFi, we have all the tools and templates you need to not just collect data, but then remarket to your guests with email and text marketing. So all the products and services you need to build your own audience and market your own brand directly are available within StayFi now.
Love it. Love it. Love it. That's awesome. And, you know, that's becoming a bigger and bigger market share in the short-term rental space is people utilizing things like this to be able to push them to their direct booking site so that they can, as you had mentioned, not be as dependent. Now, we've had the pleasure of having you on here before I was here, which was a while ago. I'd love to kind of get a catch up of what's new, like what has happened since you were last here to now. How has the company grown? What are some of the things you guys are working on that are new and innovative?
Yeah. So when StayFi started, we were just the Wi-Fi data capture tool. So you can imagine, you know, that's why I started the business is I spoke to all these short-term rental operators that wanted to build their own brand and become less dependent on OTAs, but they didn't have any guest data. Because obviously when you're starting a new brand, the people that are most likely to trust and rebook directly with you are the people that have loved and stayed with you before. And that's, you know, building up that list of dependable repeat customers is what we're all about. So we started just with the data collection piece, and then we've just built integrations with a bunch of email tools you're familiar with, things like MailChimp, Constant Contact, you know, all these third-party tools are very common. Obviously, those tools are super generic. They're built for any vertical or industry. And one thing that we noticed was missing in this space is there wasn't any email tools built for short-term rental operators. So the next logical extension of StayFi is, well, we can probably help our customers more effectively do email marketing than just using one of these, standard email tools that's built for any industry. So then we launched email and also text marketing within StayFi because text is also a super powerful marketing channel that's less utilized because texts have, 80, 90% open rates. So those, over 60% of our customers use our own email tools and have switched from things like MailChimp or maybe are getting started with email marketing for the first time, right? And what's really cool about StayFi is our email tool is also free. to get started. So like up to 200 contacts, it's free. So you can play around, try building templates, set up automations, have all the features, and you don't start paying until you actually have a good size list to start marketing to.
So that's super interesting. When you say that there wasn't a solution for a email marketing tool in short-term rentals, you know, I use MailChimp all the time, and I know some of the frustrations I have as a short-term rental operator trying to set up automations, trying to set up a lot of those emails that go out. So how is yours kind of a step up from something like a MailChimp?
Yeah, so the first big differentiator is property management software integrations.
Okay.
So, you know, there is a very fragmented space, right? I don't, you know, Onerous, Hospitable, Lodgify, Guesty, Streamline, on and on and on and on. Right now we integrate with about 20 of the most common ones. So the first thing that we do is we actually go into your property management software, and any real emails you have associated with any bookings, we also pull those in as a separate list, both historically and then ongoing. So not only, you know, are we collecting data from the Wi-Fi, now we're integrating data from other sources, the main one being your property management software. Some PMSs have integrations with like a MailChimp, but we definitely pull in a more complete set of data, where if there's any data around like past bookings, next bookings, you know, what property they booked, we build out this very like more holistic guest profile for all the data from your PMS. And then within StayFi, we have templates, guides for specific types of automations or emails. We recommend people stay. I mean, people send. Most common, like first one we recommend is a Wi-Fi welcome email series. So you can imagine guest logs onto Wi-Fi. Then you want to send them all the essential information about the listing. And in addition to that, introduce your brand to the guest and why they should book directly, since most guests, especially if they book through an OTA, probably are not aware that you have your own brand website and are definitely not aware of the advantages for booking direct for future stays, which typically is price, but some people offer, you know, other benefits as well for direct bookings.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So, you know, you guys have really developed, as you had mentioned, like this profile for property management to be able to identify their avatar more clearly. I feel like your product is starting, like, and maybe I'm off here, but do you guys foresee yourselves kind of stepping into, you know, you talk about SMS, you talk about email campaigns, templates. Do you see yourself kind of stepping into like the actual operations and maybe integrating with like, you know, automated messaging to the guest directly, and similar to like Hospitable, right? And Guesty has their own platform. They have kind of these portions where they are automating messages. Do you see yourself ever crossing that line of data and email marketing into actual integration for communication with the host to guest? Is that something you guys have in the plan or no?
Well, yeah. So there's definitely a, like a big dividing line between, I would say, the guest communication piece. So yep. Handling interactions with guests, like even pre-booking, post-booking, typically stuff that's run through the property management software. But and then there's, you know, post-stay or during the stay, guest marketing that's intended to be with all, especially through StayFi, with both booker and non-booker, right? So mm-hmm. That's, you know, come back and book with us, you know, because it's this festival or, you know, it's Coachella and we have these seven, you know, homes are still available, right? So that's really where the focus is right now. And it's definitely the most underserved part of the short-term rental industry is getting people comfortable with, you know, regular post-stay marketing to push their own brand, which is something that most people do not do today. I'd say there's less urgency for us to get into that guest comm space just because typically our customers are already using a software to do that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are things they could identify that are lacking there, right? And that maybe in the future we could address more holistically or better. But for now, we're just sticking with the marketing piece and not getting into the back and forth with guests, whether that's pre-stay or during the stay, because I see them as pretty different types of communication.
Yeah, 100%.
So Arthur, I want to take a step back for a second, because obviously your name is not Mark Simpson, but we're talking about something that Mark Simpson is talking about all the time right now is direct bookings. I feel like a lot of people that are either listening or are hosts, even super hosts, that have 1 to 5, maybe 10 listings, they've relied so much on Airbnb to do the marketing for them. So all they've had to do is really focus on, does my listing look good? Do I have good photos? Am I providing a great experience for our guests? And that should do the talking for people wanting to come back. But what a lot of these hosts are not thinking about is there's a lot of noise, right? If someone goes with the intent of trying to go back and book my place on Airbnb, well, they might get distracted by another listing that pops up and says, oh my gosh, look at this one. This has a little bit of a higher rating. It's about the same cost and it's got a cool place for my kids. Like they start to get distracted. And so this experience, where I'm getting out of this, is this experience for these guests. There's a lot of noise out there to where they could end up booking with someone else. So as a host, I feel like the hosts that are going to win in 2024 and beyond are going to start learning how to market themselves to guests after the guest leaves, which is exactly what you're providing. Now, my question on that is, are you seeing any types of email campaigns working, or are there any recommendations, education, tools, resources that you're providing to your users now that are saying, hey, here's how you might be able to get a step up on learning how to be a good marketer and use this to the best that you can?
Yeah. I mean, I think just to step back and kind of like, what is the order of technology adoption we typically see and where does Stay5 fall into that? I'd say most of our customers will have a property management software and list on at least two OTAs, which is usually in the US, Airbnb and Vrbo, right? That's kind of like step one. Then many will get like a pricing tool, and then they often will launch their own website through their PMS, which all of them have a variety of white labeled website solutions to where they can accept a direct booking. And some are very more sophisticated than others. Like Hospitable has some great tools around like waivers and protection so that you feel as comfortable taking a direct booking as you would an Airbnb booking, right? So that's kind of like the preparation to even accept direct bookings. But if you're kind of questioning like, is it a worthy proposition to pursue? Like, do I even want to do this, right? I see where we see the most kind of success or use cases when it comes to the sub five listing owner operator is using marketing to strategically market properties and dates where they have vacancy or availability or to fill last minute cancellations. Because if you're a very large property manager, you can just send people to your website because you're always going to have availability usually for your homes for the dates that you're marketing, right? Because you have 200 properties under management, you know, you might still have homes for July 4th and you can market those or summer weekends or whatever. And there's going to be people can search for the website and find stuff.
Yeah.
You don't want to be the case where you only have five listings and your summer is already totally booked. It's like sending people to then be disappointed when they come to your website because you can't book anything.
And they'll never come back.
Defeating, right? So I think the smaller you are, the more tactical you can be. So I see a lot of great examples of, okay, someone had a cancellation or they have some availability they think should be booked but hasn't been booked. Mm. Then they'll send a text campaign and being like, hey, you know, do you want to come back for, you know, two weekends from now? We have these four nights available, right? And you'll save money by booking directly. And similarly with email, you know, targeting either things very far in the future where you still have availability or strategically targeting certain dates that are coming up. That's where I would go when you're smaller, because, you know, then when you're using a tool like Stay5, you can, you know, the ability to fill even a few nights that would have gone unbooked is going to pay for the investment in our tool and the other investments you need to accept direct bookings.
That's really good. All right, listen up. If you are not using Price Labs, you are literally throwing money in the trash. Dynamic pricing is a must in our industry. If you don't know what that is, dynamic pricing is just a fancy term for supply and demand pricing. When demand is high, Price Labs will get you high-priced bookings. And when demand is low, it will fill up your calendar while the competition overprices themselves and leaves everything vacant. I was dumb in the beginning of my short-term rental journey. I thought I could do it all without Price Labs. So one day I just said, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm going to try this thing out. And immediately my income went up 15 to 20% on my listings. I really was kicking myself. I should have been using this from the beginning. So don't make the same mistake as me. Get started with your free 30-day trial at fearlesskyle.com/pricelabs. Or even better, how about getting 25% off your first 6 months as a thank you for being a part of the STR six-figure formula membership? That's right. Go to fearlesskyle.com/6FF to become a member and claim that discount today. And Lame, before you ask your question, I just want to pause really quick and remind everyone who's listening. You can go to stayfi.com. I'm going to throw it up on the banner right now, stayfi.com, and go ahead and get started. Or instead of that, if you're already a six-figure formula member, you already have this discount. But if you're not a six-figure formula member, you're going to go to thefearlessinvestors.co/6FF, become a member there, and then you're going to get a 10% discount on the actual device that's going to be put into your home for Wi-Fi and 20% off of your ongoing membership with StayFi for the entirety of your membership with them. So and thank you for providing that to our audience for sure here, Arthur. I appreciate you doing that. And that is a steal. So make sure you guys go do that. And again, the six-figure formula is just $49 a month. Education plus the community plus all these discounts. You're going to get a great bang for the buck there. So Lama, you got a question?
Yeah, and what we're talking about really is like this new vertical, right, of direct bookings that's taking a bigger and bigger market share. My question is, like, have you seen any, because obviously the direct booking, what people like you, Mark Simpson, does is a real disruption. Have you guys started to see any pushback from OTAs? Like, are you worried about that at all? Granted, I don't know how they're going to combat it, right? Because once somebody stays with them through Airbnb, we're marketing to them post that stay, right? But let's say Airbnb, VRBO, like they decide, and who knows, maybe they already have, on trying to fight this battle. I think there was an article that kind of went viral about how Airbnb is now aware of kind of these direct booking sites. Is that something that you guys worry about? Is that something you guys are concerned about? Are you guys already seeing, them take action, if they could in any way, towards kind of services like this that are growing this market share?
Well, that's actually interesting. So the vacation rental market obviously predates Airbnb, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we work with a lot of legacy PMs that are like 80% booked direct, because they are, been operating since the 70s or whatever, right? Even before then. So actually, when you look at, like, Beyond has provided some data, there's some other sources where actually direct bookings have been shrinking as a share of overall bookings over the last 5-10 years.
Sense.
Still, yes. So, the Airbnb and VRBO are still taking market share away from direct bookings because there are so many legacy incumbent large property managers, especially in Europe, people with thousands of listings who never listed on OTAs that are now listing on OTAs, right? Yeah. As consumer behavior has changed. So I'd say it's different, with some of the folks we work with that are like started with Airbnb, but the whole legacy industry that existed before OTAs was all really book direct, right? So it's kind of like two different types of operators that we work with. So I'd say no. And I don't think Airbnb or Vrbo is at all threatened by direct booking or feels that way yet. They're more threatened by booking.com, right? That's a much scarier gorilla with, tens or hundreds of millions of dollars of marketing spend, right? So I think that's it's a very similar dynamic to how like hotel booking works, where, direct booking is important, but then you have the big booking.com, Expedia, Goliath. So, I think, short-term rentals as an industry is growing very quickly still, so Airbnb is, I think, much more concerned about what is their next big opportunity outside of short-term rentals, right? They're trying to experiment with maybe loyalty or experience booking they've like come in and out of, right? So I think for them to like please Wall Street investors, they have to think of like, what is the next big thing, and less concerned about, I think we are the direct bookings or Mark Simpson or what we're doing, I feel like it's probably the not even on their radar, right?
Yeah.
What matters to their business.
Well, I think the key word there though is yet, because I do feel like the more that you get into the high level operators or the people that are becoming the higher level operators, right? They had five, now they're at 15, 20, 30, a lot of them say the same thing. I'm working on getting more direct bookings. And when you start to see maybe less of the mom and pops doing Airbnb and more of the bigger managers starting to take over, which I feel like is where this is going to head eventually. You might be seeing people saying like, hey, I'm just not using Airbnb anymore. They don't have loyalty programs. They don't give me any sort of benefits aside from just marketing. And I've taken marketing into my own hands. So I think it's something that if Brian Chesky and Airbnb are smart, they're going to try to figure out. But like you said, if they're taking other avenues, that'd be interesting too. Question on just where StateFi is headed. Is there anything in the works, anything that we should be looking out for?
Yeah, so we just launched a new tool, which we're super excited about, called Homepage. I think of it as like a link tree for your short-term rentals.
Nice.
And as part of that, we integrated two upselling partners, one called the Hostco and one called Viator. So now it's really easy to advertise these upsells, like tours, activities, stay extension, mid-stay cleans, pool heating, late checkout, all of the ways to earn incremental revenue from each booking. You know, we have that unique entry point of touching every guest during the stay. And so now we can take those types of tools and help promote those things to every guest. And you can sign up for those tools within StateFi. So it's super easy to start upselling. I'd say that's kind of one big opportunity we see smaller, newer operators not accessing. And then when you go look at like the V trips or like giant people with thousands of listings, such a huge percentage of their revenue comes from non-booking revenue, from upsells, insurance, things like that. And we want to help try to make those types of tools accessible for smaller operators as well, which is really the focus of our business. So that's something I'm super excited about. And then coming the rest of this year, we're going to have some new email tools to make email marketing even easier.
Nice.
For folks that have no experience with email marketing, as well as some other cool new other types of upselling features within our homepage product.
I love it.
Love
Tommy,
it.
You got anything else for Arthur?
No, I think that was it. I one final question that I'll ask is, you know, probably the obvious. You got a lot of people that are watching this that are all over the spectrum, right? We got people that have one Airbnb and we got people that have hundreds. When would you recommend somebody start utilizing your resources? Is there a point of recommendation in their portfolio? Maybe, do you recommend they have at least multiple, or do you recommend somebody starts early on this whole direct booking? Because, you know, there's a lot of small time operators that I would say 10 or less that haven't taken this step, right? And that, you know, I know are telling themselves, hey, maybe it's too early or it's too much work. Based on what you've seen, what would you recommend to those people? When should we get started? When is the right time to jump into this?
Yeah, I mean, I met a lot of people. I know I saw you at STR Wealth, which is a pretty large conference that attracts that kind of, I'd say, smaller, all sizes, but definitely skewed more towards people starting out earlier. I'd say a lot of them only list on Airbnb. I think that is like the first thing is diversify your sources of demand. It's funny, I can talk to two people in the same market. One is 80% Vrbo and 20% Airbnb, and the other is 100% Airbnb. I'm like, how much money are you leaving on the table by just not even accessing the Vrbo audience, right? So, I mean, and obviously that's going to get you a lot more demand up front, right?
Like
you pay for every guest you acquire through those channels, you know, whether it's hidden in what the guest pays or you pay, whatever, it's definitely, you know, some 15 average percent is going to those channels. That's number one. Is like, if you operate in the US, those are like the two places you should probably be listed. And then with those tools comes a website, if you use like Hospitable, Guesty, Logify, whatever. And then, you know, at least have the ability to accept direct bookings, because you probably, if you have a great property and great experience, you probably already have people coming back to stay again, or organically asking you know, is there a better way to book this? So I think if you see this behavior of guests, of them wanting to return, and that could be because it's a leisure market, or you have, you know, people in like Omaha who have like traveling nurses or other professionals who have to come there every month, and it's not a place you typically think as like a quote unquote leisure destination, right? So understand who your guests are. Are they the types of guests that would return? And if you kind of check those boxes of like, I know my guests want to come back, right? And I am listed on multiple OTAs to capture as much demand. that's when I would consider like, okay, now it's time to invest in StateFi, build a capability for direct bookings. And then over time, that percentage of bookings that come directly to you is going to increase, and those bookings should be more profitable. And you should also be able to leverage that list to book unfilled nights, which I think is a giant opportunity, right? Of saying like, you know, increasing overall occupancy outside of just what you get from the channels is also where this audience can be so valuable.
Love it.
Awesome. Love it. Arthur, thank you so much, man. Guys, Team Fearless, go take control of the guests that you're hosting in your place. Go to StateFi.com. Make sure you're collecting their email addresses. That's what StateFi is going to do for you. You can go to StateFi.com and pay the full price, or you can go to thefearlessinvestors.co/6FF and join the six-figure formula. If you're not already in it, I feel like most of the people who are listening are in this six-figure formula. So if you are not, you're missing out. Go join us for $49 a month. Get the course, get the education, get the community, plus get the discounts, just like what Arthur is giving you. 10% off of your device, 20% off of the monthly recurring fee for the software. And Arthur, man, thank you so much for all that you do for our audience. And thank you for helping us to conquer the world of short-term rentals today. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Arthur.
All right. And Lama, you just are starting to onboard StateFi into a lot of your properties, right?
I am. So I know you've known, I know that you've known him for a long time, Arthur. For me personally, I just met him in Tennessee. And we kind of went kind of down the rabbit hole of all the value that he talked about. And it just made a ton of sense. And so we've onboarded about 10 so far of our portfolio, more to come. And it's been a smooth process. You want to take advantage of that discount that's on the 6FF because it, you know, it becomes significant the more that you do. But I'm excited about it. I mean, we should be live here in the next week or so. And I'm excited because, again, this is, as we talked about, this is it's the future. I mean, if you're not doing this, you're leaving a ton of money on the table. And yeah, that's why I'm excited to do it at a high level. Not that we already have a direct booking site. This is just going to allow us to be a lot more optimized.
All right, guys, go get started. Make sure you go to thefearlessinvestors.co/6FF to join the six-figure formula so you can get a great discount with StateFi. I mean, shoot, if you have five properties, it's probably paying for your membership with the 6FF, which of course is going to help you to just improve your education, improve your knowledge, improve your portfolio, and basically pay for StateFi itself. So go ahead and check it out. If you would rather just go to StateFi directly, that's fine too. StateFi.com. Go check it out, guys. That's going to do it for us here on the Fearless Investors Podcast. We're helping you to conquer the world of short-term rentals. We'll see you next time.
Let's go.
Hey, Fearless Investor community, thanks again for listening to this episode of The Fearless Investor. If you haven't already, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review. And for more free content, check out my YouTube channel, also called The Fearless Investor, and our website, www.fearlesskyle.com. Until next time, keep on conquering the world of short-term rentals.